to start out our service with a time of praise, with a time where we worship God. The Bible tells us here in Psalm 150, it's the last song, there's 150 songs, and this is the last one. It says, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise God in His mighty firmament, praise Him for His mighty acts. Is there anything that God has done that is mighty that you can give Him praise for in your life? It says, praise Him for His mighty acts. It says, it goes on and says, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Do we have any trumpets today? Where are the trumpets? Praise Him with us, with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the flute. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Someone said, man, these people are weird. These people are strange. This is strange. Hey, listen, anyone been watching the World Cup soccer? I'm not a big sports watcher, but I'm watching the World Cup because England are through to the semi-final. Did you see that English people celebrating because they won the quarterfinal? They were in the streets of London, thousands of people dancing on top of buses, dancing, screaming, going crazy. They haven't even won the World Cup, they just won the quarterfinal. Listen, if they can get excited because of a soccer game, we can get excited about Jesus. We can celebrate and we can shout and we can dance and we can sing and we can give God praise. Can you say amen, somebody? And I'll say one more thing. You know, when I first became a Christian, started coming to church, one of the things that was a real uncomfortable for me at first was the praise and the worship. Clapping your hands and lifting your hands, and I was shy and I felt uncomfortable. But let me tell you, there's something that happens to you when you start to lift your voice and you start to give God praise. Something happens on the inside of you, because God, the Bible says, He inhabits the praise of His people. So that means when you start giving God praise and you start singing, the presence of God begins to overwhelm you. You begin to sense God's presence, His joy, His peace begins to rise up on the inside of you, and God responds to our praise. So I want you to say this with me. Say, I came to give God praise. Say, I'm not embarrassed to give God praise. Say, I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to clap my hands. And I'm going to praise my God. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Give a shout. Thank you.
Yeah.
Come on, church, let's sing it out. What a beautiful name.
Your prayer, he said, call on me and I will answer you. So if you
you want prayer this morning, you want us to pray for you, please don't be shy. I want you to step out into the aisle. Just step out in the aisle, and that'll let us know that you want prayer, and we're going to pray for you. Just step out of the aisle right now. If you need prayer, God wants to do miracles here. Will you ask Him? Will you believe Him? Will you look to Him? Come on.
Thank you. get one. Won't you just raise your hand? We'd like to get it to you. Thank you, ushers. Just keep your hand up until they see you. I want to make sure everybody has a communion cup. But I want to welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time today. We love having visitors in our church, don't we?
Yes.
Yes, we do. And so if you are here for the first time, we just want to warn you right where you're sitting. We don't want to embarrass you anyway. Our ushers have a visitor pack they'd like to just give you right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand? God bless you. Welcome anyone else that you're here. In that bag's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. And there's also a white card in there. We ask you to just take a moment and fill out that white card. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop it in. It gives us an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoy the service. Praise God. You got your communion emblems. If you peel back just the top of that one, you'll find the wafer. So you go ahead and do that. We're going to read the scripture. We're going to partake of communion. The Bible says that we should do this when we gather. So we usually do at least once a month. I can't read that screen from here. Paul wrote this, and he said this. He said, "I've handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord Himself. The same night in which He was handed over, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Then He distributed it to the disciples and He said, 'Take it and eat your fill. This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me.'" So today, family, we've been singing about what Jesus has done for us. We've been singing about the great victory that He won when He was raised from the dead. We remember His body that was crucified. Thank God that wasn't the end. But everything that was accomplished in His body on the cross, the Bible says by His stripes we are healed. We remember that. We know when we hear about the gospel message and it resonates in our heart, we believe it. What we're doing when we partake of this bread is we're saying, "I believe, I receive, I believe everything you did was for me. I receive everything you did for me." Amen. So let's just take that bread right now. And let's say this together. Say, "Thank you, Father God, for the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body on the cross, broken for me. Thank you for my healing. In Jesus' name." Let's eat that bread. And we'll take that cup. He said, and He did the same with a cup of wine after supper. Jesus did this. "This cup of wine seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it to remember me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until He comes. So there's a covenant that was made on that day. There's a covenant that was made with the blood of Jesus. And that bought us a place in the family of God. Amen? And we are retelling that story right now. You don't need to have a microphone to retell the story. But just as you partake of this cup, you're saying, "I know that story and I know that's for me. I know my place in the body of Christ." Amen. I know my place in the family of God because of the blood of Jesus. Say this. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blood shed on my behalf. I receive everything that you purchased. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for redemption. I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for a place in heaven. I thank you for assurance in my heart that I am your child. I thank you for your story." In Jesus' name, let's partake of that cup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have a song item as... Thank you.
I don't really feel it. That's because you haven't been worshiping Him. Because when you worship Him, you will feel His presence.
Amen.
You will feel His presence. Yes. Something happens. And when Bobby and Amy, as they begin to sing, I want you to know the presence of the Lord is just going to flood over you today. So just lift your hands and say, Lord. Everyone lift your hands and say, Lord,
Lord,
I thank you
for
your Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
I ask you to have your way in me. Touch me today.
Thank you.
day that you have ever forsaken us, as you said that you would never leave us and you would never forsake us. That would you would be with us until the end of the age. And you said that if God is for us, then who can be against us? You said greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. Lord, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you are in us. We thank you that you are for us. We thank you, Lord, you're on our side. We thank you that you are our helper. You are our protector. You are our provider. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our wisdom, Lord. You are our life. You are all that we need. Lord, today we thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to us by your word, Lord. For guiding us. Your word is a lamp to our feet. For strengthening us. Thank you that faith will rise in every heart, Lord. And we give you all the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord.
We've got all the framing done for the walls. We've got the
first stage of the plumbing done. We're all ready. Once we get the permit, we can put the drywall on, we can finish the second stage of plumbing, we can put the ceiling grids in, and things will go very fast. So keep on praying, keep on believing with us. Will you do that?
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready for God's word today?
Yes.
What is that next to you? What is that little box? Looks like a gun. No. Oh, it's a microphone. That was a gun. My gun is a box like that. Of course, someone put the gun in front of church. It's a microphone. This morning I want to speak to you about show honor. Say show honor.
Show honor.
You know, everywhere we go as believers, as Christians, we should look for opportunities to show honor to people. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 17, it says honor all people. Notice, honor some people?
No.
The people you like?
No.
The people you agree with?
No.
The people who are nice to you?
No,
it says honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, the Message Bible, the Message translation says it like this. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. Now, to honor means, I looked it up on the internet, Google. And it says honor means to regard with great respect. And some synonyms, you know what a synonym is? It's another word.
Dessert, isn't it?
Synonym, it's a word that's very similar, helps you understand. Synonyms for the word honor is esteem, to defer to applaud, to value. When you honor someone, you value them. To appreciate, cherish, reverence, revere, acclaim, praise, salute, recognize. Celebrate, commend, pay tribute to. When you honor someone, you celebrate them. You praise them. You appreciate them. You esteem them. You value them. Amen.
Amen.
Now some antonyms. That means the opposite. Antonyms. Just testing you. Antonyms. Antonyms of honor, in other words, the opposite is disrespect, disgrace. Or criticize. Isn't it amazing that criticism is dishonoring somebody?
Amen.
When you criticize someone, you're not honoring them, you're dishonoring them.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a society today that is very dishonoring. I mean, in America today, America's divided by politics. And it's amazing how people today are so disrespectful of others and dishonoring of others who don't agree with them. Don't shout me down, I'm preaching good now.
Amen.
Now, I thank God that we live in a country where we have freedom of speech, where you have the right to say what you want to say. But let me tell you, just because you live in a country that has freedom of speech doesn't mean that we have the right to disobey what God says.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah,
that's right. Well, I live in America, Pastor Steve. Don't tell me what to say. I'll say what I've got my say. I'm going to have my say. Are you going to do that even though it would disobey what God says to do? See, God says we must show honor to everybody. And God says we must honor those in positions of authority. Notice that Peter particularly mentioned respect the government. And if you read it in the New International Version, it says honor the emperor. Are you kidding me? Honor the emperor? Do you know at the time that Peter wrote this, the emperor's name was Nero, and he was an evil leader who persecuted Christians and had them thrown to the lions, and God said honor the emperor. Where do we get this business? If we don't like the emperor, we don't agree with him, then we can say whatever we want. God says honor the government, honor everybody, honor the emperor. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13 it says, in order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution. If you're going to honor God, you must honor those that are in positions of authority. I can see this is going over great today. And let me tell you, this may be the very thing you need to adjust to see that breakthrough that you've been waiting on in your life.
Right.
You've been praying, 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 why is my breakthrough not happening? Maybe it's because you're not honoring people how God wants you to. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 13, verse number 1, he said, every person, say every person.
Every person.
That means me. Every person must submit to and support the authorities over him, for there can be no authority in the universe except by God's appointment, which means that every authority that exists has been instituted by God. So to resist the authority is to resist the divine order of God, which results in severe consequences. For civil authorities don't intimidate those who are doing good, but those who are doing evil. So do what is right, and you'll never need to fear those in authority. They will commend you for your good citizenship. Those in authority are God's servants for the good of society, but if you break the law, you have reason to be alarmed, for they are God's agents of punishment to bring criminals to justice. Why do you think they carry weapons? Why do you think the policeman's got a gun? Because you're going to do what he says, or otherwise, or else, right? You are compelled to obey them, not just to avoid punishment, but because you want to live with a clean conscience. This is also the reason you pay your taxes. For governmental authorities are God's officials who oversee these things. So it is your duty to pay all the taxes and fees that are required and to respect those who are worthy of respect, honoring them accordingly. Now listen, we don't get to pick and choose who we honor. Well, I'm going to honor him because I like him. But I'm not going to honor her. I don't like her. God wants us, he says, show honor for everybody. Will everybody deserve this such treatment? No. Does everybody deserve to be honored? No. But Christians are supposed to be known as people who treat others with respect because of our obedience to Jesus, period.
That's right. Amen.
In our conversations, the way we treat people, when we're at home, when we're at work, when we're at the grocery store, as believers, we are carriers of honor. We've got something to give. If you see someone doing a good job, honor them by telling them, you're doing a great job. Are you with me? Recognize their accomplishments. Give them credit in front of their colleagues. That's showing honor. I've had it where I've gone to a restaurant and the person serving me is so good, I call the manager and say, man, this person is an amazing server. I'm just going to tell you they're doing an amazing job. That's honoring them. Are you with me?
Yes.
We're not just doing them a favor. You're actually doing yourself a favor. When you show honor to someone, you're doing yourself a favor, because when you honor someone, there is a commanded blessing that is released in your own life. God releases a blessing in your life when you honor other people. If someone, you know, comes to the grocery line at the same time you do, one way you can honor them is by letting them go first. Do you know that preferring others is a simple way to honor other people? Just preferring others. Romans 12 verse 10 says, give precedence and show honor to one another. Give precedence. When you come to get coffee, before the church, before service, someone comes, no, please go ahead of me. No, you go ahead of me. No, you go ahead of me. No, my sister, you go ahead of me. It's honoring someone. Honor those in authority by doing what they ask you to do. Honor the police officer by taking the detour without complaining about it. Honor the usher by sitting where he asked you without arguing about it. Well, I don't want to sit in this section. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. That's why you don't have many pieces left, because you keep giving everyone a piece. You've got to show honor by respecting the person's position. You might not agree with the policy, but because you're a person of honor, you respect the authority and you do it anyway. Amen?
Amen.
You know what I found? The amount of honor you show is directly related to the amount of favor that you see in your life.
Yeah.
I said the amount of honor that you show is directly related to the amount of favor that you see in your own life. See, if you're stingy with your honor, and you say, I can't give them credit, you know, that's because they can look better than me, then you're not going to have favor like you should. But when you're generous with your honor, And you're always giving people credit. You're always treating people with respect. You're always giving preference to people. Then God will be generous with his favor toward you. If you want to see more of God's favor, if you want to see more of God's goodness, show honor in a greater way. Yeah. One time, Jesus was at someone's house who was about to have dinner. And this woman came in, and she was known as a notorious sinner. She was probably a prostitute. And she knelt down, and she took this expensive oil or perfume, and she began to anoint Jesus' feet with this very expensive perfume. Now, the Bible says that the perfume she used was worth 1 year's salary. A year's salary. In the Bible, oil represents honor. You could say that she poured her honor on Jesus. And the religious leaders and the disciples got upset. And they thought, doesn't Jesus know what kind of woman this is? And then they thought, this is such a waste. She's what this expensive oil is worth a year's salary. This is a waste. Judas said we could have sold it and given it to the poor. But Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 7, let her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. See, she gave honor and she received favor. Not only did Jesus forgive her sins, he said, he that is forgiven much loves much. Not only did he forgive her, but Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. I'm telling you today, I'm repeating what she did. See, when you pour out the oil of honor, it becomes the blessing that is returned back to you. With no honor, there is no blessing. You'll never receive what you're not willing to give. If you don't give honor, you won't have honor. Let me tell you, some of us, we could go to a new level in our life. You could see breakthroughs in your life. And what you've been praying for, if you would just start honoring people in your life in a greater way. The Bible says Jesus couldn't do any miracles in his own hometown because of their unbelief. You see, they thought, there's nothing special about Jesus. We grew up with Jesus. I taught him in the third grade. He was just like the other students. I played little league with him. I mean, he wasn't any different from anybody else. You see, it was a lack of honor that kept Jesus from doing any miracles. In fact, Jesus went on and he said this in Mark chapter 6. He said, a prophet is treated with honor everywhere except in his own hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own house. He was unable to do any great miracle in Nazareth except to heal a few sick people by laying his hands on them. Why couldn't Jesus do any major miracles? Because he said a prophet is treated with honor anywhere except in his own hometown because there was a lack of honor. And let me tell you, the same principle is true today. Where there's no honor, there will be no miracles. Where there is no honor, there will be no healing. Where there is no honor, no promotion. No increase, no honor, no favor, no breakthrough. God's power is directly related to showing honor in your life. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2 says this, for the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the 10 commandments with a promise attached. What's the promise attached? You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. There is a promise. When you honor your parents, God said you'll live a long, full life. The New Living Translation says, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. And you will have a long life on the earth. Things will go well for you when you give honor to your father and to your mother. Things will go well for you. There is a blessing attached to honor. There's a commanded blessing. If you show honor, all will be well with you.
Amen.
You might go through some difficult seasons. People may do you wrong, but because you're a person of honor, you can stay in peace. You can know all will be well with me. Yeah. Let me tell you, honor should start in our homes. It should start in our own families, with those closest to us. I know people that treat complete strangers better than they treat their own spouse. They talk to strangers better than their own spouse. It should be just the opposite. We should treat our own family with more honor than anybody else. Are you with me? I was invited a few years back to a pastor's event at Lakewood Church in Houston. The pastor Joel and Victoria Osteen, there's a whole lot of pastors, hundreds of pastors. And I love the fact that Joel starts out every meeting that he has like that, where he has pastors come. Every time he starts out by honoring his parents. They founded the church back in 1959. And he knows, Joel Osteen knows, he wouldn't be where he is if it wasn't for his parents.
Amen.
Right? And one pastor who was there, he said, I've never seen such a culture of honor. See, Romans 13 verse 7 says, render to all their due, honor to whom honor. See, when you're honorable, you don't try and suck all the attention out of the room. Look how great I am. Look what I've accomplished. Have you ever met people and they talk about themselves all the time?
Yeah.
You can't get a word in edgeway. I just shut up. When I'm around people that just talk about themselves, I don't even try. I'm not competing with that. But so some people, that's how they are. You're not talking about their accomplishments. But when you're a person of honor, you are quick to give other people credit. You realize no one gets where they are on their own. You honor those who have gone before you. You honor those who are praying for you and believing in you and encouraging you. You honor them. Family, let's develop a culture of honor in our families. Let's develop a culture of honor in our church.
Right.
We've got enough people trying to pull us down. We've got enough critics and naysayers. Our families should be a place of respect and admiration. Amen. Where we don't focus on all of our petty differences. We don't let pride cause us to compete and compare, you know, amongst ourselves. Trying to be the most important where we can't compliment other people because we don't want to make we don't want to look weak ourselves. No, let me tell you, showing honor is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength.
Yes.
Celebrating other people does not decrease you. It actually increases you. Let's be a church that celebrates other people. Celebrate their accomplishments. Are you with me?
Yes.
Giving credit to that employee who works underneath you is not going to make you look less in others' eyes. It's actually going to give you more credibility. Because the more respect you show, the more respect you're going to have. Where there's honor, let me tell you, there's unity. Where there's honor, people get along. Where there's respect and admiration, there's team spirit and enthusiasm and motivation. Why is that? Because when you pour out the oil of honor, it'll come back to you as God's blessing and God's favor in your life. I mean, you may be around people that are dishonorable. You may be around people who are hard to love, hard to respect. Sometimes you have to honor people by faith. In other words, don't treat people according to the way they are, but treat them how you want them to become.
Amen.
See, when you honor someone who's dishonorable, when you give someone respect who doesn't really deserve it, when you're kind, even though they are not kind, you are sowing a seed for them to become honorable. See, your mind is always going to tell you, be disrespectful back to them. They didn't give you the time of day. Just blow them off. They talked about you. You should talk bad about them. You never change a dishonorable situation by piling on more dishonor. It only makes matters worse. You've got to do just the opposite. You've got to bring honor to that situation. You've got to treat them the way you want them to become. It's like a cork at the bottom of a bucket with no water in the bucket. The honor is the water. And as long as there's disrespect, and sarcasm and jealousy and pride, the bucket is empty. The cork stays at the bottom of the bucket. But when you start to honor that person and you treat them the way you want them to become, and you're kind even though they are not kind, little by little, as you pour on the oil of honor, let me tell you, that cork is going to come up off of the bottom of that barrel. In other words, that person is going to start to come up higher, and if you keep pouring the honor in, before long they'll be living at the level that God created them to be, not because you fought with them, but because you treated them with honor. You keep pouring the honor in. That's what causes people to rise up to new levels, family. Can you say amen? You know, but maybe you've got some family members and they don't deserve to be honored. Maybe you have a parent who did you wrong, or a relative that cheated you. A brother-in-law is always talking bad about you. The way to win is not through dishonor, but to stay on the high road. Don't sink down to that level. Just keep, you know, showing more and more honor toward that person. I mean, I heard about a lady who was mistreated by her father. She was abused for years. And she said, how am I supposed to honor him? I hate him. How can I honor him? I realize that you may not be at that point yet where you can interact with that person. But let me tell you, it is an act of honor to pray for them to change. That itself is an act of honor. You never make a dishonorable situation better by adding more dishonor. The way to change it is by adding honor to that situation. Like, I heard about this man, I've told you this before, he didn't speak to his father for 30 years. When he was 23 years old, he had a big argument with his father, and for nearly 30 years, you know, he walked out and he wouldn't talk to his father. And his whole life was a struggle. I mean, he couldn't get ahead. He never seemed to get any good breaks. Year after year, he was living in this little apartment with his family. And one day he heard that his dad was ill, he was sick, he was in hospital. And so something told him he needed to go and he needed to make things right with his father. And so he drove 4 hours to the hospital. When they saw each other, they both began to weep. He said, "Dad, I'm sorry. It was my fault. I'm sorry. I want to make it up to you." He started honoring his father. He would take his children to see his father regularly. And his father would spend weekends at his house. And he changed from a culture of dishonor into a culture of honor. You know, it's amazing. Not long after that, he got a promotion that he'd been trying to get for 10 years. He got that promotion. He didn't know how he was going to send his daughter to college. But out of the blue, she got a scholarship to college. And then after all those years of living in a small apartment, finally he was able to purchase his own first home. One thing after another began to fall into place. Why? Because when there is a culture of dishonor, God's blessing is pulled back from your life. You will not walk in the fullness of what God has in store. But if you will do like the son and find any area of dishonor and start bringing honor and start bringing respect, let me tell you, you can break the curse that comes from dishonor, and you can see God's favor begin to be released in your life in a greater way. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Show honor to your parents and all will be well with you." Do you know the opposite is true as well? If we don't show honor, all will not be well with us. Right? If we allow disrespect, jealousy, sarcasm, pride to keep us from showing honor, it's not going to hurt the other person. A lack of honor will hold us back. I really believe one reason that I've seen God's favor in my life is because I've done my best to honor my parents. I've done my best also to honor my spiritual parents. And I believe there's a special reward and blessing that comes when you honor your parents. It'll be well with you. You may not always agree with them, but it doesn't say if you agree with your parents, honor them. Young people, listen to your parents' advice. They've been around longer than you have, and they're trying to keep you from making the same mistakes that they made. How many of you know who Mark Twain is? Mark Twain. He made this statement. Mark Twain said, "When I was 14 years old, my father was so dumb, I could hardly stand to be around him." But when I got to be 21, I was amazed how much the man had learned. How many of you know? If you want it to be well with you, if you want it to be well with you, you want things to go well for you, then you need to show honor and respect to your parents. Not just with your words, but with your actions. Amen?
Amen.
Joel Osteen says, one weekend he was preaching, he preached a Saturday night and then Sunday, and his mother came to the Saturday night service, and she texted him after. She said, Joel, please don't say this. There was something he said in his sermon. Please don't use that word in your sermon. And your mind can tell you, I don't have to do that. My mother can't tell me what to do. My mother can't tell me what to say. My name's out there on the building, you know. You know, there are many things we may not think that we need to do, but in order to show honor, we need to swallow our pride and do it anyway. Because where there's honor, there's promotion. It's not enough just to honor with our words. Let's honor people with our actions. So Joel said, even though, you know, it wasn't a bad word, but to honor his mother, the next day, he didn't use that word. Folks, I'm convinced if we would show more honor, not only would we have better relationships, but we would enjoy our own life a lot more.
Amen.
I mean, wives, it's important to honor your husband. I've got one amen.
Amen.
One lonely amen. Listen, do you know that one of your husband's greatest needs is that you honor him? I said it's one of your husband's greatest needs is that you honor him, that you respect him. A wife's greatest needs is to be loved. A husband's greatest need is to be respected. When you criticize your husband, especially in public, it's the worst thing you can do. Ephesians 5:33 says, each wife is to honor her husband. And Proverbs 12:4, I thought this was amazing. It says, the integrity and the strength of a virtuous wife transforms her husband into an honored king. But the wife who disgraces her husband weakens the strength of his identity. You want your husband to be a king? Honor him. Because when you respect him, you actually weaken who God made him to be. And all the men who weren't too afraid said amen.
Amen.
You see, wives, let me talk to the wives for one moment. Wives, do you know that you can say the right thing, but you can say it in a dishonorable way, and he's not going to hear what you say? It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. It took us a lot of years to get this one. It took us a lot of years to get this one right. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. You get your chance later on. Because let me tell you, if there's the slightest hint of disrespect, his defenses will come up. And nothing that's said is going to be taken the right way. And in our relationships, we may not always agree. But so often, if that other person doesn't see it our way, then we get upset, we stop raising our voice, maybe we get sarcastic, before long we're at odds with one another. We can just learn to keep the honor and respect even when you don't agree, it will not damage your relationship. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing, but we can disagree in a respectful way. I tell you, it's such a shame. There are people that are damaging lifelong relationships over political issues.
Yeah.
In 4 years, we're going to have another president, and then 4 years after that, we're going to have another one. Those friends that you've damaged, it ain't worth it. Let me tell you right now, we need to show respect and honor to our friends even when we don't agree.
Yeah.
And everyone said amen.
Amen.
And husbands, you've got to honor your wife. It's not just wives that must honor their husband. Husbands must honor their wife. Amen.
Amen.
Someone I know told me that his wife asked him, please don't wash your hands in the kitchen when you've been working out in the yard, and please go to the bathroom, don't use the kitchen. And you know, because he'd get all dirty and sweaty, and so, you know, he didn't want to go to the other bathroom, to the back of the house. So when she wasn't looking, he'd just use the one in the kitchen, and she'd never know. And one day he was washing his hands in the kitchen, and he heard down here that he heard the Lord, that still small voice. The Lord said, when are you going to honor your wife? By doing what she asked you to do. And he decided he was is going to honor God by honoring his wife. See, often we think, well, I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to go upstairs to wash my hands or to the back of the house. Or I shouldn't have to sit in that section. I shouldn't have to clean up that mess. Or I shouldn't have to do this. But God is saying, will you do it for me? Will you sit in that section for me? Will you not use that phrase in your sermon for me?
Amen.
Do it unto God. If you belong to God, God will always honor you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 verse 7, husbands, you must give honor to your wives. Treat them as you should, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Do you know that not honoring your wife can hinder your prayers?
Amen.
Wives, you missed a great opportunity right there. If you don't show honor, our prayers can be hindered. If we don't show honor, that dream may not come to pass. Could it be, if we started showing more honor, then a dream would come to pass, a prayer would be answered, that breakthrough we've been hoping for, we'd see it, if we just start honoring people.
Yeah.
I mean, family, what I'm asking us today is, let's step up our honor level.
Yeah.
Not just in our homes, yes, we should start there, but make sure even at work, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, it says those who are employed should listen to their employers and obey their instructions with great respect and honor. Serve them with humility in your hearts as though you were working for the master. The Bible says that we should listen to our employers, obey their instructions, and treat them with honor. It says serve them with humility as though you're working for the master. Because you know what? You are working for the master. Do you know promotion comes not from the left, not from the east, not from the west, not from the south. Promotion comes from God. For he lifts one up and puts down another. We work unto the Lord. 1 Timothy 6 verse 1 says this. Instruct every employee to respect and honor their employers, for this attitude presents to them a clear testimony of God's truth and renown. Tell them to never provide them with a reason to discredit God's name because of their actions. It says, especially honor and respect employers who are believers, and don't despise them, but serve them all the more, for they are fellow believers. It says they should be at peace with them as beloved members of God's family. Be faithful to teach them that these things are their sacred obligation. The Bible says it's our obligation to show honor to our employer. Well, Pastor Steve, I tell you what, I don't know if this is my favorite message of yours. I think I like last week more, and maybe next week will be better. Listen, this may be the very thing that's holding me back. Show honor to your employer. Show honor to your coach. Show honor to your teacher. Show honor to your leaders in church.
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. The Message Bible says, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. I'll be expecting some of that later on. This says honor your leaders. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17 says the pastors who lead the church well should be paid well.
Amen.
They should receive double honor for faithfully preaching and teaching the revelation of the Word of God. Do you know the Bible says the pastor should earn twice what you make? That's what double honor means. I didn't say I make twice that you. I didn't say that I make twice what you make. I said the scripture says I should. Right there. They should be paid well. They should receive double honor. That's what double honor means. What do you make a week? You're not working. You don't make anything. Your husband told me to tell you to go get a job. It's my sister, I can tease it. I'm just telling you, the scripture talks about honoring the government, honoring your employer, honoring your husband, honoring your wife, honoring your parents, honoring your pastor. A culture of honor. God wants us to honor those in authority. That means we honor and respect those in any position of authority. We show honor to everybody. Right? Joel Osteen tells a story. Number of years ago, I think before he became so famous as he is now, when he went to this baseball game, he would always sit in the same place. He'd always park, he'd use the same entrance, park at the same entrance. He knew exactly where his seats were. But as he walked in, just a couple of sections to the left. But this day, he went, there was a new usher at the entrance, and he was forcing everybody to go right. And they put up little ropes, so you had to go right, you couldn't go left, making everyone go to the right. His seats were on the left. And if he went to the right, he'd have to walk all the way around the entire stadium to get to his seats. And there were hundreds of people that were going in, and of course, you know, everyone was going to the right, but many of those people, when they got about 20 feet away from the usher, they would hold up the ropes and go under and go to the left, yeah, and go toward the section where Joel was sitting. They just wait till the usher wasn't looking and they'd go under the seat. So Joel did the same thing. He waited till the usher couldn't see him, and he was just about to slip under the rope, and he heard that still small voice say, "Joel, don't do it. You're a person of honor. He's in authority. Respect his position." And so he stopped and went right, and he walked all the way around the stadium. Not because he felt like it, not because he thought it was fair, not because he even thought it was right. He did it to honor that usher. Because he understands when you honor people, you are ultimately honoring God. You are sowing seeds for promotion in your life. I wonder how many opportunities we miss out on to come up higher and see God's favor because we are not showing honor to those in authority. Someone said, well, it's not hurting anyone to go under the ropes. Does it really make any difference? Maybe not. But it's a test of your character. See, God is watching to see if you'll pass that test and show honor and respect to that position of authority so that you can come up higher in your life. Are you going to take the easy way out and just do whatever you feel like, whatever you want, get stuck where you are? Or let's pass that test. Let's stay on the high road. Let's be honorable. Because the more honor you show, the more God's going to honor you. I think about David, King David. The Bible says King Saul. David took over from Saul. And King Saul kept dishonoring David. I mean, he tried to kill David. He threw a javelin at him. Tried to kill him. And David did nothing but good towards Saul. He was devoted toward Saul. But Saul was jealous of David. He tried to kill David. And then he chased David with his army for 13 years through the wilderness, trying to kill him. But David was so filled with honor. And he so respected Saul's position of authority that several times King David had the opportunity to kill King Saul, but he wouldn't do it. In fact, in 1 Samuel 24, verse 10, David crept into the cave where Saul was sleeping. And he took a little bit of his robe, and he cut a bit of his robe, and he came back out, and then he said, "Saul, I could have killed you." He said, "You look this day, your eyes have seen the Lord delivered you in my hand, into my hand in the cave. I could have killed you." He said, "Someone urged me to kill you. But my eyes spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed."
That's right. Yes.
I want you to think about that. This David, this Saul, this man Saul, is backsliding away from God. He's seeing spiritual mediums and witches. God has taken his hand off Saul and his anointed David. Saul is jealous, and he's trying to kill David for 13 years. And David has the chance to kill him, and he says, "I will not touch God's anointing." Why? Because he's honoring God. See, David just kept on passing the test, man. David just kept on showing honor. And how many of you know God gave David great favor?
Yes.
Greatest king ever lived. When David finally took the throne of Israel, several years later, the first thing David did was not to throw a big parade to show how great he was. The first thing David did, he asked his staff. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, it says, give me that scripture, "Is anyone left of Saul's family? If so, I'd like to show some kindness in honor of Jonathan." Amen. Now, Jonathan was King Saul's son, and he was David's best friend. And David made a covenant with Jonathan. And Jonathan and Saul were killed in battle. And David, when he becomes king, he says, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul? This man who tried to kill me, this man who lied about me, this man who tried to murder me, tried to destroy me. Is there anyone left of his family? Because I'd like to honor them."
Hallelujah.
Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Honor was always on David's mind. No wonder God blessed David. David in such an amazing way. Jonathan was his best friend, Saul's son. Jonathan had been killed in battle with his father, King Saul. And David's men, they said, there is someone. Jonathan had a son. His name is Mephibosheth. We call him Phoebe for short. Mephibosheth, that was his name. Mephibosheth was a cripple. He became crippled when his nurse heard that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in a battle. She panicked and she fled because she thought David was going to come kill them. And in her haste, she dropped Mephibosheth. He was just a little child, and he became crippled in the accident. Now, Mephibosheth had been living in a place called Lodebar, one of the poorest cities in all of Israel, out there in the desert. And David set out, he's going to honor Mephibosheth. He's going to honor Saul's descendants. And so he sent for Mephibosheth and asked them to bring him to the palace. And in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7, it says, David said, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table." You're going to live in the palace, you're going to eat at my table like one of my sons, and I'm going to give you back everything that belonged to your grandfather Saul, because I'm going to honor. That's honor, family. That is honoring someone. Let's be like David. Let's develop a culture of honor, where honor is always on our mind. Let's set out this week to honor people. Set out to honor your spouse in a greater way. Don't shout me down now. Don't get too excited. Try to contain yourself now. Honor your spouse in a greater way. Let's show respect to our co-workers. Honor our co-workers. Make that friend feel extra special. Let's show honor in our conversations, in the way we treat people. Let's show honor in our social media posts. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's show honor. Let's show honor in every opportunity we find. Remember, the amount of honor you show is directly related to the amount of favor that you see. Romans 12 verse 10 says this: take delight in honoring each other. And the Passion Bible says it like this: be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in honoring one another. Try to outdo yourself. Think you can do that? Try to outdo each other. Oh, you're going to honor me? Well, you watch, I'm going to honor you more than you. I'm going to outdo you. We're in a competition. I am going to honor you more than you honor me. That's what it's like. Imagine a church like that, where you come to church and everyone's just trying to honor one another, celebrate one another, appreciate one another, value one another. Can you imagine? I'm asking us to step it up a notch in this area. Be kinder, be more respectful. Go out of your way to show honor to people. Remember, when you honor them, you honor them all. And we should, everywhere we go, we should look for opportunities to pour out that oil of honor, to encourage people, compliment people, make them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
This should be our priority, family. This should be on the forefront of our minds.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Who can I honor today? Who can I put in a good word for? How can I make them feel special today? Because if you make it a priority to honor people everywhere you go, God promises all will be well with you. Because you're honorable, not only will you always have honor, but you will live a long, blessed, satisfied, prosperous, victorious life in the name of Jesus. Do you receive it today? Come and give God thanks and praise. Do you receive it today? Let us say, "Lord, I receive your word today." Say this, say, "Lord,
I choose
to be a person of honor." Say, "I set out this week to honor people.
I am an honorable person."
Say, "I show honor everywhere I go." bow your head for a moment. I want to pray for you. While your head is bowed, while your eyes closed, let me tell you, the greatest thing you can ever do is to honor God in your life. The Bible says that if we will believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if we will confess with our mouth that He is Lord, we will be saved. If you've never confessed Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I encourage you to do that today. I encourage you to surrender your life to Him today. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know for certain? You have no doubt. If you died today, you'd know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is if you died today, are you sure, are you certain that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be certain about that. You can know that you know that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed and while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you said, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. When I die, I want to be sure that all is right and all is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be a part of this prayer, I ask you right now, quickly, just lift your hand up high. In Jesus' name, just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Here's my hand. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I want to ask everyone who raised your hand today, please say this prayer with me. And I'm going to ask everyone to please say this prayer. Everyone say this. Let me tell you. Everyone say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, to take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that He is Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. I believe, Lord Jesus, you are alive. And I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Save me. Change me. I surrender my life to you. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. And I thank you, because I've received you, I'm now saved. I'm now born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Now the scripture says in Romans 10 and verse 9, I'm not sure what translation we have up on our screens there. I think it's the New King James. If you could put that up for me. Romans 10 verse 9. It says if you confess with your mouth. Do we have it? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart and God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We usually have it up there. Alright. Praise God, everybody. Amen. Let me say this to you. We're about ready to close. Let me tell you. You want to honor God? Get to church on time.
Amen.
And stay until the end. Now, if you absolutely have to go, you're going to catch a plane, you've got an absolute emergency, I understand. And I'm sure some folks have left today, they have an emergency. But I'm saying, one way to honor God is wait till the service ends before you leave.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yes.
Now I am going to take a few minutes, because right now we're going to honor the Lord without giving.
Yes.
So we're going to honor God without giving.
Yes.
And I want to ask everyone who lifted up your hand during that prayer, please As we close the service in about 5 minutes from now, please, if you lifted your hand, remain where you're sitting, because one of our counselors, our volunteer, is going to come and give you a gift. We have a gift for everyone who lifted your hand. We have a gift we want to give you. So as we get ready right now to give, to honor God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14 in verse number 8, if we live, it's to honor God. If we live, say, I live to honor God. You know God wants us to live to honor Him. Say it again, I live to honor God. Do you really? Proverbs 3 verse 9, honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income. And He will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income. Do you know that when we tithe, when we bring the first tenth of every dollar that we receive, do you know that that is honoring God? I said, do you know that that is honoring God? Well, how many know the opposite is true? If I'm honoring God by bringing Him the first part of my income, the tithe, then if I don't bring Him the tithe, I'm dishonoring God. Proverbs 13, verse 13 says this, ignore the word and suffer. Honor God's commands and grow rich. Ignore the word. See, some people sitting here this morning, they're jumping down, looking back at me, but some of you, you're ignoring what I'm telling you right now. To your own detriment. Ignore the word, you're going to suffer. Honor God's commands and grow rich. The Passion Bible says it like this. Despise the word, will you? Then you'll pay the price. It won't be pretty. But the one who honors the Father's holy instructions will be rewarded. You want to be rewarded? Honor God's instructions. Honor God's commands. He said, bring me the first part, the best part, the first tenth of every dollar you get. The first dime is mine. When you bring it to me, you're honoring me. To honor means to esteem, to value, to appreciate, to cherish, to recognize, to pay tribute to revere. Let me ask you, does your offering do that? Does your offering indicate and demonstrate how much you esteem God? Do you esteem God $1 in your life? Well then, give Him a dollar. See, when you tithe, you are showing your esteem, your appreciation, your value, your reverence, your love, your faith. All of those things are being demonstrated right now as you give. This is a time for us to honor the Lord. Let me tell you, this means a lot to God. I said, this means a lot to God. May not mean a lot to you, but this right now is a holy moment. Because God right now is going to find out how much you really honor Him in your life. Can you say amen, somebody? I'm preaching better than you're amening today. Some people are ignoring God's commandments to their own detriment. But when you honor God, I'll close with this. Proverbs 19, verse 16. Honor God's holy instructions, and life will go well for you. But if you despise His way and choose your own path, you will die. If you honor God's instructions, life will go well for you. I don't know about you, I choose God's way. I choose God's way. How about you? I choose to go God's way. I need God's blessing. I want God's favor in my life. And so every Sunday, I honor the Lord by bringing the first tenth. Whatever I receive this week, the first tenth, I put it aside and honor God with it right now. How about you?
Yes,
I said, how about you?
Yes.
I said, how about you?
Yes.
Are you ready to honor the Lord today?
Yes.
Because the Bible says when you honor God, when you bring the tithe into the storehouse, it says God opens the windows of heaven. He pours blessing on you. God puts favor on you. God begins to guide you. Opens doors supernaturally for you. It started happening for me when I was 17 years old. That's when I started tithing. 17 years old, I started tithing. I didn't finish high school. I didn't go to college. I didn't have a college education. And I didn't finish high school. And I got married at 18. And I became a father when I was 19. But I started honoring God when I was 17. And God opened doors for me, supernaturally took me from one place to the next place to the next place. God has taken care of Steve Barry. Let me tell you right now, the Lord has taken care of Stevie B. He has taken care of Stevie B. That's what my daughter calls me, Stevie B. And he is taking care of me. First time I met Mal Horn. Now, is his dad Horn? Mal Horn. From One Direction. First time I met him, he said, "Hey Stevie B, how you doing? Good to meet you." My daughter been telling him, "My dad is Stevie B." I can tell you, the Lord has been good to Stevie B. I have a turtle named in my honor, Stevie. How many people love to honor the Lord today? How many people are excited about honoring God today? How many people love to give to the Lord today? How many tithers are in the house today? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on. We're going to give right now as we close. You've got that envelope. The black envelope. We ask, please use the black envelope for your tithing to Christian Family Church. If you're giving to our new building, please use the red envelope and make it out to Ascend Church, because our new building is in the name of Ascend Church. Remember, there's various ways you can give: by cash, credit card, check, use the envelope. You can give online. You can give by text. Those who are watching this on Facebook, you can donate on Facebook. Thank you for giving. Thank you for tithing. Thank you for honoring God. I want you to know, as you honor God, He honors you today. Are you ready to give today? Hold it in your hand. Say this with me. Say, "Because I support." Everybody say, "Because I support God's house by tithing and giving. God has pleasure in my whole spirit." Say, "I believe in God for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements." Thank you, Tasha. Move on to the next line. Estates and inheritances. Say, "Blessings and increase. Rebates and returns. Checks in the mail. Gifts and surprises. I'm finding money. My bills are paid off. Interest and income. Creative ideas. Houses and land." Say, "Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, so that I have more than enough." Say, "I have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen.
Yes.
And amen. Lord, I thank you. As we give today, we honor you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord. You promised that you would fill our storehouse with plenty. You promised you'd open the windows of heaven and pour blessing. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your provision, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Is everybody ready to give?
Yeah.
If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not ready, say, "Oh me." Let me just mention to you, we found out last week that the hotel just started charging for the parking. Did some of you discover that?
Yes.
The parking used to be free up until 4 o'clock, and they just changed the hotel. That's the harbor side. So now, last week, some people were charged. I just want to let you know, if you take your parking ticket and go to the hotel, they told me that will validate your ticket. You will not have to pay. So if you just go to the hotel reception, they'll stamp your ticket. I know it's a bit of a pain, but if you want to save the $5, there you go. Alright? I want to say thank you today, because we couldn't do the service without all of our wonderful volunteers. I want to say thank you to our setup team, our musicians, our ushers, our greeters, our children's church workers. Thank you. We appreciate you. We honor you today. Don't we? We honor all of our volunteers. We appreciate it. I also want to mention that Cherie, Sherry, she would like to meet, please, with the greeters and the usher. There's some people she still hasn't met. So if you're on the usher greeter team, please come and introduce yourself to Sherry before you go home today. Praise God, everybody. Are you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
Stand up with me, would you? Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness toward us this week. And in all of our life, Lord. And we thank you that you called us to be carriers of honor. That, Lord, you called us to honor people everywhere we go, to show them honor. And when we honor them, we're honoring you. And I thank you, Lord, for this church, that we have a culture of honor, that we celebrate.